141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic win a 10th consecutive domestic trophy, lifting the League Cup at Hampden. Rangers wait for silverware goes on amid complaints that the Celtic goal shouldn't have stood. And Motherwell, St Mirren and Hibs among the big winners from a weekend of league action as well. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Scottish football is real time in a VAR world. So the arguments can range over the validity of Celtic's cup winning goal yesterday, but if that single moment has to be analysed in microscopic detail, then what chance do the match officials have in the blink of an eye? What I will say is that for me, that moment did not determine the outcome of the game. Rangers had a penalty to take for an equaliser against 10 men, and more than half an hour left to play after that. They should have won. They didn't. It's where they go from here that's important.
Alex Ray, yep. A 1-0 victory for Celtic. If you said that at the start of the day, you maybe don't raise too many eyebrows. Maybe not a surprising outcome, but everything that happened in between, it was just drama of the highest order.
I had everything, Gordon. It was a mishmash, and obviously the first trophy of the season goes to Celtic, and congratulations to them. Going back to Hugh's point, I think we'll discuss that later on the show, because it's very early in terms of whether it's deserved or not. I think when you look at the overall weekend, it was a massive win for St Mirren. Three in the bounce for your team, Motherwell, Gordon. Livy, Hibs, brilliant 3 points. Partick Thistle, importance of coming back from a goal down. But I think there's a lot more talking points to come over the course of the show.
You better believe it. 0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck right in on the phones. On Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. Don't think you're off the hook though. Let's do it nice and quickly. We'll take your nominees. It's more than that. It's your winner for your result of the weekend first, Hugh Keevans.
Well, for me, it has to be Celtic 1, Rangers 0. For the simple reason that 10 domestic trophies in a row, won now by Celtic, that record may stand forever.
Alex Ray, result of the weekend.
It has to be Celtic. They got the job done, Gordon. Obviously in difficult circumstances for Rangers fans to accept, but again, you have to dig in, you have to resolve, and they did that in abundance yesterday.
You can carry on then. Give us your goal of the weekend.
My goal of the weekend was Boyle's first goal. The pass from Scotty Allen, perfect pass. A little dink over the goalkeeper, and it's great to see the boy back, because I think he's a big bonus to Scottish football.
Goal of the weekend for you, Hugh?
Cammy McPherson for St Mirren, because the goal meant so much. It took St Mirren off the foot of the table. It also meant that they had their first away win of the season at the 9th attempt. So take a bow, Cammy.
Your howler of the weekend, Alex Ray.
The linesman for the Old Firm game, Gordon. You're asking people to get the correct decision right. He did not do that, and ultimately the price the Rangers pays is overwhelming.
I'm going for an offside decision, but not at Hampden. I'm going for one at Fir Park. Motherwell were one up, should have been two up, but the linesman, the assistant referee, whatever you wish to call him, missed a Hearts player, making the Motherwell player 2 yards onside. 2 yards.
Hugh Keevan says the decision at Fir Park was the biggest offside call of the weekend. You heard it here first. 0141 951 1025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from both managers then. We'll get stuck in on the phones. Neil Lennon says he was proud of Celtic's resilience and mentality. He says winning 10 consecutive domestic trophies is an unbelievable feat, and it will give them a huge psychological lift.
Really proud. We had to dig in today. I don't think we played well. Didn't play well first half. I made rely on Fraser at times to make some world-class saves. And then we showed great resilience, you know, great mentality. Get the goal. Then there's a red card. And then they have to, you know, dig in again. Mikey had a great chance to make a 2-0. But, you know, I'm sure Rangers will say they had some great chances as well in the game, which they did. So to come through it, you know, to win 10 major trophies is just unbelievable. And the character and the pride and the resilience that they had to show today, which sometimes they don't get asked too many questions at domestic level, you can see they've got that in abundance as well. Huge psychological lift. This is huge today. I would, we'll have a good week this week. Obviously, we've got the Cluj game, but there'll be a few getting a rest. And psychologically, it is a massive shot in the arm for them under the circumstances.
And Steven Gerrard says Rangers were outstanding. He couldn't ask for more from his players in terms of effort. He's left rueing missed chances, but says it was his decision to put Alfredo Morelos on penalties.
I thought we were outstanding in terms of our performance. Everything we asked of the players today, in terms of how they approach it and what we wanted out of them. I think to a man, I can't be much prouder of them. But finals are decided normally on big moments, and the big moments haven't gone in our favour today. We've conceded from a set piece. We shouldn't have given the set piece away. There was no panic. And then once you've given it, you've got to defend it better. There's three of them standing in an offside position, but unfortunately we play in a league where there's no VAR, so we've got to defend that better. But that aside, I thought we were outstanding. We created all the best chances. I don't know what the rest of the stats are, but they're not important. But I can't ask any more of me players in terms of what they gave me today. It's a big moment. A penalty at that time and them going down to 10 men. If you execute there and then, it puts you in a much stronger position. Unfortunately, we haven't took our chance on that big moment. And people will look back at that moment as the chance for us to swing the whole game and the whole momentum in our favour. Although we were much the stronger team throughout the 90 anyway.
Was Alfredo on penalties?
Yes, he was the nominated penalty taker. It was nothing to do with James passing the book or anything like that. I decided that we needed to change that up.
There is absolutely no doubt we will talk about the goal, the offside nature of it many, many times between now and 8 o'clock. So just for a second, can we just talk big picture in terms of Celtic winning that trophy and Rangers coming up short?
Big picture with regard to Celtic, Fraser Forster, the undoubted hero of the hour and a half, and then the 6 minutes added on. Off the park, hero of the hour for Celtic, Neil Lennon. Since being appointed to replace Brendan Rodgers, he has got 8 in a row over the line. He has won the Scottish Cup. He has now won the League Cup. He has taken Celtic into the last 32 of the Europa League by virtue of winning their qualifying group. He has done all of that in 8 months. Outstanding.
What about from a Rangers perspective, Alex? Because like I say, we will debate all the things that got us there. Rangers didn't win the cup yesterday. What now? What about the bigger picture?
I think reflecting on today from a Rangers perspective, the way they will be feeling, Gordon, they will be devastated. I think what they put into the game, the chances they created, I don't think anyone envisaged it being such a one-sided game in terms of chances. Morelos, I think, had 9 individual chances himself, which was, again, you wouldn't envisage that. I think they executed everything they wanted to do, other than the most important thing was put the ball on net. I think Fraser Forster was absolutely immense. I mean, when you're talking about goalkeeping performances in big games over the course of recent years, that is by far up there with the best. And when you look at the performances of all the key players that we wax lyrical about from a Celtic perspective, you know, Forrest, Elanusi, Christie and so forth, they were non-existent. And I think that is the most frustrating thing from a Rangers point of view. And then again, well, as you rightly said, we'll cover the decision which actually turns the game for me.
Let's get stuck in. Stuart's a Rangers fan from Paisley. How are you feeling about it all now, Stuart?
Hi, Gordon. Good evening. Well, as you can imagine, I'm a very disappointed Rangers fan tonight. And to be perfectly honest, I'm quite an angry Rangers fan. I would like to make a point to Alec Ray, if I can.
Go for it.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
I've had better days, Stuart.
Listen, what I would say, right, first of all, I think Rangers were cheated out of the game. Now, there's a process in place with a compliance officer, etc., for referees' decisions, there's linesman's decisions. How a linesman cannot see that is beyond belief. It is absolutely unbelievable, to the point where, yes, I'm not denying Rangers that should have scored. They should have scored. They had plenty of chances to score. I'm also not denying that Fraser Forster had an outstanding game. Absolute credit where credit's due. But as far as I'm concerned, the goal shouldn't have stood. And as far as I'm concerned, Rangers were cheated out the cup final.
See the to suggest that guy was cheating. For me, that doesn't wash. I think he has clearly got it wrong. If he was a yard, you know, offside and there was clear distance, I think, okay, that is as clear, you know, but What are we talking about? A foot or a foot, just over a foot? So that
Is it even that? That's the thing. And by the way, this is not to take anything away from it, because I won't change anyone's mind tonight. No. Some people think it's offside, some people don't. But can we at least agree that it's extremely close?
Well, what I'm saying to you is I've got it as a foot. So what I'm saying to you is it's no 3 feet, a 4 feet, what some people may well think it is. I've got it as a foot. So it is a tight call, but he has to get it right. Because that is, I said at the top of the show yesterday before the game, that they have to get the big decisions. I was predominantly saying this to Willie Collum, but that applies to his assistants in the touchline.
I mean,
but listen, there is no conspiracy. There's no cheating. It is just poor officiating. He's not got the call right.
And Stuart mentions, you know, the compliance officer, Hugh. With all due respect to Stuart, it's completely irrelevant. There is no process to retrospectively review offside decisions within games. I know why this one's getting the attention, because it's an Old Firm Cup final. That goes without saying. But there's just no process there for that sort of thing.
No. And you have to be careful with the language you use. Cheating, you know, that's unacceptable language. As I say, they have the blink of an eye in which to make a decision. We have pored over it on television and on social media. If he got it wrong, then he got it wrong by the naked eye not being good enough. But as I say, to use the expression, cheating is unacceptable.
Alex,
now, I understand why.
I was just wanting to, for some clarity early on, Hugh. Alex thinks it was offside. Do you?
I can't make up my mind. As I say, I think we'll need to bring in the Hubble telescope to look at these things. I've seen photographs that make it look as if it was onside. I've seen things that make it look as if it was offside. But the history of the game, whether it's in this country or anywhere else, the history of the game is about fine margins and decisions like that. We still dispute that England won the World Cup in 1966 because we don't believe that Jeff Hirsch's ball was over the line. I remember Ronnie Dyler in his time at Celtic Park going for a treble and a goal or a penalty being denied Celtic when a player had his arm extended its full length to take the ball away. It goes on. Some you get, some you don't, and I'm sure that Stewart in his time can remember when Rangers have got goals that were perhaps offside.
Alec, having looked at it countless times, yeah. I wouldn't even care to mention how many times. That's how sad I am. And I'm sure you've seen it all yourself as well. You've seen the still images, you've seen the footage, images from behind the goal. It is extremely close. Is that the thing we can agree on? Especially with when you're judging Philip Hylander's part in it, because you can't see him, because the camera angle is behind Christopher Julian, and before you take the free kick you can see Philip Hylander clearly. As it struck, Philip Hylander is somewhere in between Christopher Julian and I think it's Oddson Edouard. What makes you so sure, if you like?
The picture from behind the goal, Gordon. So you're looking from behind the Celtic goal.
Behind Alan McGregor?
No, behind Fraser Foster's goal.
Oh, right, okay.
So there's a vantage point looking back down towards the 18-yard box, Gordon. I seen it from that angle, and then when you look at the line that was on Sports Scene last night when they've paused it there, it looks as if his foot is over that line, which would suggest that's the margin. So you're looking at a foot, and that's why I've come to that conclusion, because I've seen it from behind there. Hylander's clearly the other side, and he's trying to get back onside. Listen, I'm surprised that Hugh doesn't actually think it's offside. And we've all pored over it. We've seen lots of stills. I don't tend to take a lot of stills because it's very difficult to see when the ball's been hit.
To be fair, that's the thing. Hugh didn't say he thought it was onside. He just can't make up his mind. And it is extremely close. That's the one thing that I don't think is up for debate. And that's why, to throw it back to you, Stuart, even Alex, who is very, very strong in his belief that it was offside, is mentioning multiple camera angles, is mentioning lines being drawn across. Even if you do think it was offside, Stuart, which is fine, that I have no problem with that. Is it really the type of decision? I can't remember what phrase you used. I think it was beggar's belief. Is it really that bad? If that makes sense,
I would say it was, because I'm sorry, I watched that game. Yes, I mean, I go to every game, but unfortunately couldn't get a ticket for the cup final. I watched it in a pub with, you know, how many other thousands of Rangers fans, and I have to say, everybody said it straight away. What I would also say is, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it. At the end of the day, the game's won and that's it. What I would say is I'm very proud of my team yesterday. I thought they played exceptionally well, to the point where even one of Celtic's players came out in an interview, I forget the guy's name, played for Aberdeen, the ex-Aberdeen player, came out and actually said that, you know, Rangers played them off the park, which they did. So I've got great confidence to take this going forward. I think we'll, you know, we can take Celtic on. I'm very pleased to say that we can do that. Another point I'd like to make, just quickly, I know we're short of time,
no,
that I actually felt that, well, it's also, again, social media is very powerful. It's a powerful tool. It also came to light that Fraser Foster was actually off his line when the penalty was taken. Now, I'm not saying that that makes a difference. At the end of the day, you've still got to score the penalty. Morelos failed to do that, which is a surprise. In any other day, he probably would have put it away. I don't know whether the pressure got to him or not.
I have scanned social media as well today, and you get plenty of photographs to say, yeah, he's off his line and Ryan Kent is encroaching. So we can go on and on and on all day. This is football, and this happens in football. And Celtic will have their grievances, Rangers will have their grievances, but at the end of the day, you're right, Rangers did play Celtic off the park yesterday, and they did have 11 men to Celtic's 10 for 35 minutes, and they did have a penalty. And Rangers were a large contributory factor towards Rangers not winning the cup.
That was Stuart in Paisley. We've got Chris in Govan. He's coming up just after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Looking back on an eventful, I think that covers it, eventful League Cup final at Hampden yesterday. Celtic lifting the trophy after a 1-0 victory, a goal from Christopher Julian. That's the main bone of contention, it seems, on the phones and on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Gary Henderson says, fans need to decide what they want. They complain VAR is killing the game and that attackers should get the benefit of the doubt. Then when it comes against them, there are cries for linesmen to have microscopic vision. It's football, it's drama, it's box office, says Gary. We've got loads more tweets coming in, I must say. Where was the other one I was going to read out? Scotty McHugh says, still hurting from yesterday. If it had been a boxing match, it would have been stopped. I don't believe there's a gap any longer, as Rangers dominated the entire game, but we didn't take our chances, says Scotty McHugh. Chris in Govan's been hanging on for quite some time. Let's see what's in Chris's mind. Hello, Chris.
Hi there, Gordon.
Hello.
Hi, well, as I say, I'm a Celtic fan, obviously. I'm delighted, obviously, we won yesterday. Now, every Rangers fan that I've listened to has been banging on about the Julian goal. Now, I'm not denying Julien's foot, the thing he scores with, is offside. But nobody is mentioning the fact Morelos missed, Alec mentioned it, about 10 chances, three of which he had Defoe in a better position when he shot. He had Ryan Kent in a better position when he should have passed it through to him, and along with multiple other things. But nobody's mentioned that. They're all contesting the Julian goal.
Well, we've got two hours, Chris. We can cover everything, but
is the fact that Stephen Gerrard's now crying out for VAR. If VAR had it, if there was VAR, Morelos would have been off the park when he raped his studs down the back of Julian's room.
Anyway,
do you want VAR?
Stephen Gerrard also said in his post-match press conference that he thinks that VAR has had a negative effect on football, and he would not say that he was 100% in favour of it. So he's been honest about that. This whole thing about the offside, it's as if it's the first offside decision that was ever contentious in Scottish football. It happens week in, week out. It happened at Motherwell. It happened at Hampden. But obviously Hampden's higher profile. It involves Celtic and Rangers, and it gets all the attention. Rangers, we're talking about fine margins here. I understand why Rangers are sore, because we know that they were denied a penalty at Pittodrie, because John Beaton, the referee, went to Stephen Gerrard and apologised for getting it wrong. Therefore, there is no doubt about that one. The referee saw it back again, realised he made a mistake. Over the course of 4 days, Rangers have lost ground in the league and have lost a cup. Therefore, they are sore, but it's as if it's the first offside decision ever to be questioned. Rangers should have won the match. They had every advantage. They were 11-10. They had a penalty. If somebody scores from the penalty, in all likelihood, Rangers go on and win the cup. They could have given Celtic an almighty beating yesterday. We could be discussing with angry Celtic fans here tonight a margin of defeat that would have been unacceptable to them. They have Fraser Forster to thank for that not being the case.
Alex, I do want to try where possible to talk about it all, and and we'll do the offside again. I've absolutely no doubt about it. Just for the meantime, what about the things that Rangers can control? Because that's what you know at the end of a game. It might frustrate you, it might anger you, but ultimately you can't control what the officials do. What about the things that Rangers had within their grasp to control? What needed to be better?
They're finishing first and foremost, Gordon. I said today, when they look back, they will be extremely disappointed in the amount of chances they created and never scored one of them. So that you have to be super critical. They have to see teams off, and when they have that dominance within games, we spoke about this last week as well, up at Aberdeen, you know, it can be 3 or 4, and you have to see that off, because ultimately then the penalty decision is, we're not speaking about the John Beaton last week here, because you're putting them to bed, that the confidence is gone, and it's similar to yesterday. So I think that's a thing that you can control. When I look back at the substitutions, I look back at Brandon Barker coming on, and Steven Gerrard then put Ryan Kent central. I thought it was working really well, where Kent was driving from the line in to free up space for Barisic, and then obviously on the other side, Tavernier was getting a lot of joy from that. So Brandon Barker doesn't have that intelligence when it's coming from one side to the other, to go inside to free up the space, and ultimately you had two players standing within a couple of yards of each other. So I didn't think that worked particularly well. And then when you're introducing Jermaine Defoe, the only time that they get a ball across the face, he managed to get a good strike on it, and I think it was Julian got a very good important block, resulting in a corner. So I think over the piece, Gordon, I think they will be devastated that they never get a positive result yesterday.
Neil Lennon says he hasn't seen a goalkeeper like Fraser Forster for a long time. He also says Jeremy Frimpong can be anything he wants to be.
I've not seen a goalkeeping performance or a goalkeeper like him, you know, for a long time. In his first spell here, he did some incredible things, and now he's doing it again in his second spell. We're grateful to have him. He's buzzing and thrilled to be here, and you can see that in his... We needed him today, and he just stood up and made saves that other goalkeepers just can't make.
How big is this achievement to get these 10 trophies?
I don't know where you would compare it with, you know, other clubs around the world or other teams in Scottish football. You know, I'm not really looked into it, but it's incredible. It's easy to give it up. It's easy to think, oh, it's not our day today, that's the end of it. But they just won't. It's amazing. They're an incredible group of players.
How was Jeremy after him? Were you stopped him when you saw the penalty?
Fine. You know, as you said, look, you're outstanding, son. You maybe had to do it. I had no issue with the penalty decision, obviously, and the red card. So, but I thought up until then he was one of our best players. For an 18-year-old kid to play as well as that was... Yeah, he could be anything he wants to be.
Fraser Forster.
I think Celtic have to get serious. They have to go to Southampton and say, right, how much? You know, Celtic get plenty of money. They are trying to enhance their reputation in Europe. Think back to Fraser Forster's save against Lazio at Celtic Park. Unbelievable. If you are serious about building a team, whether it's for domestic football, 10 in a row or whatever your ambition is, then you have to get serious and you have to ask Southampton the much money they want for Fraser Forster.
He's actually contracted, I think, Gordon, till 2022, Hugh. So it's 2.5 years with performances like that as well. Obviously, keepers are sought after. I think one of the key things, if you're trying to attract him back, would be his wages.
Yeah.
Because you would imagine, having signed a new contract, England international, you know, the terms would have been favourable at that time.
Was that, to elaborate on something you said earlier on, genuinely one of the best goalkeeping performances you've seen?
It's phenomenal, Gordon. I mean, absolutely phenomenal.
What was the best save of the lot? The penalty one is important.
Yes.
Were there others that were technically better saves?
I think the save from Ryan Jack.
Yeah,
yes. Because if that goes in, the ball's burst.
I think with that one, Hugh, when you consider, what is he, 6'7"? And you extend his arm, he has sprung and he's moved, because he's a big old unit, and he's moved his feet quickly and he's plucked it, but he's also got something to spare because he's got such a big hand on it. It was a remarkable save. But I think when you look at some of the other saves as well, Gordon, you know, I'm trying to defend Alfredo at times as well with some of the acute angles because of that frame. I think the one he does Ayer down the side, the only way that he can possibly beat him is dink him. You know, because
he tries to go low, doesn't he? And yeah, then the just, leg
he goes
out,
for
yeah.
power. So you know, but I think they're still important saves because he makes himself big and he narrows the gap quickly.
Okay, let's get back to the phones. Ian is a Rangers fan in the city centre. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, Ian. What's your take on yesterday's events?
I'm sickened. I'm gutted, like every other Rangers fan. But Hugh has really, I nearly fell off my chair when Hugh said that that decision didn't cost Rangers a cup. I would like Hugh to tell me what he think the score would be if that goal would have been good. Because if you're not, if people like Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are not expecting a higher standard of refereeing and linesmen than they've got and just keep making excuses for them. I mean, what I'm going to say, I'm going to go on just a wee bit of a rant of you. Now, what else, Hugh, would you expect of a linesman when everybody's standing, excuse me, I've got a bit of sore throat, everybody's standing still. His only job is to make sure nobody moves before that ball is kicked, and he's standing right at it. And he still said his naked eye wasn't good enough. Well, if his naked eye isn't good enough, he shouldn't be there. I mean, it's as simple as that. You didn't go up and yell or just pat this away like it's nothing. It cost Rangers a chance. Didn't it cost them a cup? Cost them a chance to win the cup because that linesman was inept at his job. Would you not accept that?
Did you just say there, Ian, it didn't cost them the cup, it cost them a chance to win the cup? That's all Hugh said at the start. That's
no,
the exact same.
What I thought Hugh had said, and I'll apologise if I'm wrong, I thought Hugh had said it didn't cost Rangers.
I did say that.
No, you said it didn't cost them the cup.
Uh-huh.
And Ian just said the same thing. He said it didn't cost them the cup. It cost the chance to win. That's two different things. Surely that's two different things.
For me, pragmatism tells me that it's 1-0. The referee's next big decision is to award Rangers a penalty and send Jeremy Frimpong off. The ball's on the spot. The afternoon is there for you to take. If the penalty is scored, given that Celtic were so bad, Fraser Forster was paranormal, but the rest of the players were well off. You've got the penalty, you've got 11-10, and there's 35 minutes left to play. I cannot accept, therefore, that the goal scored by Julien has cost Rangers the cup. There was plenty of time and opportunity and a penalty and a numerical advantage.
I mean, you would have to accept it clearly plays a big part, though. It's the only goal of the game. And if it was offside, which we'll never agree on, if it was offside, yeah, you have to accept it plays a big part, though.
Of course, but I cannot accept that the next 36 minutes pass by with no incident whatsoever.
Ian,
I never said that. I never said it passed by without incident. What I'm saying is, if the linesman gets that call right, then it's nothing each at the end of the game. Do you know what I mean?
No, how can you say that? How can you say that after the decision, if it had gone the other way, how can you say it would have remained 0-0 for the next 35 minutes? How can you know that?
How can you know that if Rangers wouldn't, if they wouldn't get that goal, the linesman did his job right, that didn't cost Rangers a cup?
Because I know that the next thing I saw was the ball on the penalty spot and Jeremy Frimpong getting a red card. And at that precise moment, Rangers had the pivotal moment in their day. If they score from the penalty, given that Celtic were so poor, they would surely then have gone on to take the numerical advantage and Celtic's poor performance and did something about it.
Ian, I have no problem with you or any other Rangers fan who comes on and thinks that it's offside. That's absolutely fine. Loads of people think that, but you must concede. Surely you must accept that you simply cannot say that it definitely would have been 0-0 at the end of the game, unless you've got some sort of powers I don't know about.
Rangers, no, listen, Rangers never scored, right? That is a fact. And Celtic never looked like scoring. So to me, at the end of the game, it's going to be nothing each.
Yeah, but No. I have to take you back. If the goal is disallowed, there are still 35 minutes of play left to be negotiated. How can you say
Rangers might even have scored two or three in that time?
How can you say that you know nothing would have happened to either goal over those 35 minutes?
Alex.
Yeah, well, listen.
Answer it if you can.
Well, listen, I think I understand where the Rangers fans are coming from, because in their eyes, it was a goal that was given that shouldn't have been given. So in theory, it's still 0-0. But, you know, because he's made, we just had one of a Celtic guy on earlier on, Chris, who thinks it was offside. And then he puts his point across about several tackles from Morelos. What we do know is, if it was at that point, if the linesman does his job, it's 0-0. We don't know how it's going to pan out, because the game totally could go anyway. However, you know, I think the frustration is with people is that it wasn't given. And but the thing is, there has to be a frustration that the amount of chances that Rangers had, apparently, and they didn't capitalise. That is the biggest frustration as well, because you have that at your control.
I feel like a lot of this always boils down to the language we use, Hugh, as a society, maybe a bit deep for me, but we've just become a bit more extreme. I don't think anyone would argue that if you think it's offside and you come on and say, I think it played a big part, you can't really argue that. But it is impossible to say that it
definitively
cost. And that applies to any game involving any team. How could you possibly be so sure?
I went to see my first game between these two clubs 60 years ago. I understand that in the depth of their disappointment, fans refuse to accept that things are just, and they refuse to accept a contradictory argument to their own. I come back to the point. It's 1-0. The ball is on the penalty spot. Frimpong is taking a walk up the tunnel. Rangers' top goal scorer is standing over the ball. There are still 35 minutes of football left to be negotiated. If you don't take advantage of that, that was your pivotal moment in the game.
Thomas is also a Rangers fan in Dumbarnock. Let's get his view on things. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing?
Not too bad, Thomas. How do you see all this?
All right, listen. Offside, it's offside. It was clearly offside. Clearly offside. Three of the guys were offside. But do you know what? It doesn't matter. It's done. Don't do the Scotland thing, the hard luck story. It doesn't matter. Rangers should have won that game. Clearly. And I don't buy this Celtic at another off day. I'm fed up hearing that as well. It's no. This is what Rangers have got to build on now, because they've no got that inferiority complex. The smugness is gone. The boy was right earlier on. Scott Brown said it. I know. Did he deserve that? He said probably not. They know that. That's the difference. Now, the gap is definitely closed. Hughes just said there are 60 years of watching. I've been watching a long time as well, a very long time. And that's the most one-sided final I've seen a team losing ever.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Easily. I know I'm right in that, Hugh. You agree with me? Yeah,
I absolutely agree.
But what I will say, so what Rangers need to do now, and I'm sure Alan agree as well, they've got to build on that. Yes, it's a defeat and it's a sore one. As I said, I don't do the hard luck story, Scotland, all that stuff. We're beat. We never took our chances. Was it offside? Yes. Did it make a difference? No, because we should win the game. But there is now no gap between the teams, you know, and Rangers. I said it yesterday. Rangers midfield is fitter and stronger than Celtic's, mainly because of Scott Brown. You've got Arfield and Jack Aribo. I know Davis is 34, but he's still fit as well. But I believe Rangers. I've seen Celtic a couple of times. I do believe Rangers play the better football. They do the better pass. But I don't want them to turn into the Tommy Burns. What happened to Tommy Burns? When Tommy Burns definitely played the better football than us at the time. That we kept winning the games.
It's a good point, Thomas. Let me put that to the guys. Then ultimately, if we can sum this up, is yesterday encouraging for Rangers because it proves they're getting closer? Or is it actually worrying because Celtic have won yet another trophy whilst not at their best?
Gordon, do you know Thomas makes a lot of good valid points there, because you could wallow and shout and ball about the penalty, the offside and not having the chances. I was saying to you, and I think part of the problem with most Rangers fans at the moment is they're still hurting from it. It was a difficult one to take. And Thomas is right in terms of dominating the game. It was one side and so forth, and trying to overcome that. Now, I reckon about 20 months ago, if we go back 20 months here, I was watching Rangers play Celtic on a regular basis leading up to the appointment of Gerrard. And I'm thinking to myself, I have never seen, Thomas mentions one-sided games, fours, fives. Uh-huh. The Rangers players couldn't lay a glove, and it was like men against boys. I now watch it now, and I actually see a vast improvement, because I think, was it one shot on target Celtic had yesterday? Now, when was the last time, treble trebles, 10 trophies in a row, that Celtic had one shot on target? And is that, does that qualify, quantify as the offside goal was the one shot, Gordon?
Yeah.
So, it, you know, in the grand scale of things, you know, because of the resources, I'm not sure what Thomas says there, because I actually think Celtic have plenty of options in the way they play and the way they attack. I think they've got plenty of top players who score goals. So I think I said today in another programme as well, Gordon, that I think the next couple of days are vital. I think they'll be hurting, they'll be feeling sorry for themselves, and the coaching staff have to pick them up, because Young Boys is on Thursday, Motherwell away, which is not going to be easy, then Hibs. They have to negotiate them before they go back to Parkhead, because any other setbacks could be, you know, fatal long term.
Quickly, Hugh, do you subscribe to the view from Thomas that that was an encouraging day for Rangers yesterday, despite the defeat? Are the signs there that things are getting closer, or are extremely close, as Ian puts them?
The acid test will come December 29, Celtic Park. If Rangers can dominate Celtic the way they did yesterday, then it could alter the course of the league title race. December 29 will answer all questions.
A few people have mentioned Stephen Gerrard's VAR comments. They're coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Ted is not happy, Hugh. Ted says it's hilarious. You and me, the Gordon character, he says, must be the only people on the planet that thought it wasn't offside. I didn't say it wasn't offside. Hugh Keevans didn't say it was offside. He just said he couldn't make up his mind. And I'm immune from these types of decisions, because I stand on this side of the desk and I just watch you two battle out. So don't mind a bit of the old back and forward.
But it's a cup final.
Ted is hearing things.
It's a cup final. It's a Rangers Celtic game. I expect all of this, but we are going on as if it was the first contentious offside decision ever to happen.
Lots of tweets coming in at Clyde SSB. It's 01419511025 on the phones. Mark is in Greenock. Hi, Mark.
Hi there, Paro. How you doing?
Not too bad, Mark. How are you feeling?
Oh, good, man. I know Alex not feeling great, but
I'm glad you are, Mark.
Goes, Al, yeah.
Listen, it's the way the cookie crumbles, son. You've got to take the good with the bad.
Listen, do you know what? That's why I'm on here, Alex. I say, simple thing is, man, I grew up watching your team. I grew up watching Tommy Burns here, as the caller said earlier on.
Yep.
And in fact, with Andy Gorham back in, do you know what I mean? How good was he? Do you know what I mean? I remember the cadet, and somebody says that guy pulled off. I'm a tremendous man. So see, yesterday, the bottom line is, we were at Muhammad Dali, the football world yesterday, man. We done a rope-a-dope. Do you know what I mean? We took the punches, man, and we gave it right back out. Whether that goal was offside or not, who cares? Do you know what I mean? See, reality is, we won a game. We won 10 trophies in a trot.
A few people, you know, seem, I mean, to care, Mark, for what it's worth.
The bottom line is, I don't, and we don't. Do you know what I mean? As I say, it's domination that we've took over yet again. Do you know what I mean? And it'll twist and turn. The season's obviously looking. Rangers played brilliant yesterday. You can't take it away from them. But the reality is, they never had enough. They gave it their best, and it still wasn't enough. Bottom line is, Morelos, a golden boy, he wasn't good enough. Big Forster was the best player on that park yesterday. That's the reality of what was happening. That big guy, before he left to go to leave, not a lot of people wanted him back, and I was one of them. Do you know what I mean? I never really liked taking players back again. Do you know what I mean? But the reality is, we'd pay anything to take that big guy.
Would you look to try and sign him full time, Mark? He's 32 in a couple of months. Would they pay Celtic pay 8, 9, 10 million for him to get him back, and the wages he's on? That's the big question.
That's,
I think,
the question, of course. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the reality is, what is he on? Do you know what I mean? What is his wages, and what's he going to be looking for to come back to?
It was an England international when he signed his extended contract of 5 years. So carry on, mate.
That's for Peter Lawwell to investigate. The fact that he's 32 wouldn't bother me.
Not for a goalie. No, a few years. No, he's imagine
a good 5 years left in him. He just looks literally head and shoulders above anybody else at the moment. So I would be making inquiries. Mark is representative of the Celtic fans today. They're ecstatic. They were a fine margin away from discussing a defeat that they wouldn't have been able to handle, because but for Fraser Forster and but for Alfredo Morelos's lack of chance taking, Celtic could have lost by a margin that would have been deeply disturbing for the Celtic supporters, but the game is like that.
Stephen Gerrard was speaking about VAR and the need for Scotland's officials to be helped. He says too many things are being missed by referees up here. He also says he's got a big job on now to try and pick up his players.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and look for excuses. I'm not the type of person that blames or looks for excuses. You know, the big moments have gone against us today. We're all responsible for that. But the reality is, at the top end of football, you'd expect the linesman to get one of them right out of the three that was standing in an offside position. I'd be a liar if I said I'm 100% in favour for it. But one thing I do know is that the officials up here need some support and some help, for sure, because there's too many things, not just for our club, but across the board, that maybe they miss or they need a bit of support on. We've got a huge game on Thursday. There's no better game to bounce back from. I'll stay with these players on the evidence of what I've seen today, performance-wise. I'm staying right with them, right behind them. I'm right in it. On the evidence of today, we might have to suffer for a little bit, of course. I get all that. We have to soak it up, remember it, be ready to go and give ourselves another opportunity, and that type of performances will get us where we want to get to. I've got a big job to pick them all up, because as you can imagine, it's a tough one and it's a raw one right now. But this is football at the top. That's why this is such a big job. We'll suffer and then we'll bounce back.
So by his own admission, he's not sold on VAR either.
No, not 100%. But
he wants something to help the officials up here. What might that be? Maybe we'll get the chance to speak to Stephen Gerrard in the coming days and find out what that would be. So, is it VAR? Is it something else? What do you make of this argument that we now need it because of what we saw yesterday?
We see some bad decisions here, week in, week out. Rangers got a bad decision at Pittodrie, followed by a bad decision, to their way of thinking, at Hampden. But I see bad decisions all over the place.
Campbell at the weekend was a prime example.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And also in England, and they have VAR.
Well, I was going to make that point as well, because again, I'm not for a second saying our officials don't make mistakes. Of course they do. Some of them are horrendous mistakes as well. Let me be very clear about that. I think one of the worst decisions I've seen in the last few weeks, Alex, was the failure to award Alfredo Morelos a penalty away against Feyenoord. The referee that night, the guy who refereed the Champions League final.
Yep.
So I know it's convenient. I know the timing's come up and there will be counter arguments to that. But we always sort of start, you know, sweeping generalisations about the overall standard and stuff. You should always demand more, and I think our referees do probably make too many mistakes. But if that level of referee is also making mistakes, we're never going to be happy. Yeah. Let's be honest.
No, there's always going to be mistakes, Gordon. And the fact that there's no VAR at the Europa League highlights that. You know, that guy is probably at the top of his game in terms of over in Feyenoord. Oh. When you consider a couple of months previous, he was at the Champions League final. In terms of this VAR argument, Gordon, it is not going to happen. You know, we can say they need assistance. I would like to know how they're going to improve referees. How can we actually help to improve them? You know, and do workshops or more time, spend more times at clubs. I have no idea, but there has to be some sort of way because VAR is not happening up here. The finances will not allow that to happen.
Finances aside though, Hugh, let's say we could afford it and we could afford to implement it tomorrow. Based on what you've seen in the English Premier League, would you welcome it?
I think it creates as many controversies as it settles. I don't think it's been good for English football. I think it's eaten into the heart and soul of the game down there. It was meant to be something that would end all arguments. That is not the case.
Nothing will end all arguments up here either.
No. When you see it down the road, it's almost a case of when it goes for you, it's great. But it doesn't, you're going, load of rubbish.
Tell you what, let's take a breather. Let's get ourselves some comic relief, shall we?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, your chance to take on Alex Ray or Hugh Keevans and win yourself a signed ball. If you want to take part tonight, it's 0141 951 1025. You have to be quick because the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, trying our best to reflect on all the talking points from yesterday's League Cup final, but there are many. It's another trophy in the bag for Celtic. 10 consecutive domestic trophies in a row. Neil Lennon delighted that his team managed to win without being at their best, and they certainly weren't at their best. Lots of that down to Rangers, who were very good but couldn't get over the line, and feel aggrieved about the goal scored by Christopher Julian. Was it offside? Was it not? Do we need VAR? Do we not? What about Alfredo Morelos? All the questions hopefully will be answered between now and 8 o'clock. And a bit later on this hour, we're going to try and get a hold of our Road to Wembley winner. Hopefully you heard this last week, a fantastic prize we tried to give away last week in aid of Cash for Kids. So if you entered, stay tuned, and it could be you we're trying to get a hold of later on this hour. But in the meantime, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Hugh and Alex are both standing by. One of them will be up against John from Kilsyth. How are you tonight, John?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Now, John, you're a Rangers fan. I would love for you to tell me that a Beat the Pundit victory would make up for yesterday, but even I'm not that daft. I don't think we can go that far, can we?
No, you can't.
Nah, not quite. We'll try our best, though. You never know. I'll get Alex Ray to sign it five times because he's not having a good time either. We'll toss the coin and see who you're up against. If it's heads, it's Hugh. And if it's tails, it will be Alex. And it is Alex Ray. But you better hope this Beat the Pundit's all about yesterday's League Cup final, because I think you were there for about 12 hours yesterday based on the television coverage.
He's on a great run though, Alec.
Oh yeah, you've been in good form and Beat the Pundit, I must say. Right, well, what I'll do is I'll give you a bit of Clyde 2 to listen to.
Lovely.
And that way you can't hear us anymore. John, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Alex. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Who did Barry Ferguson play with after his second Rangers spell?
Blackburn Rovers.
How many goals did Livingston score against Kilmarnock on Saturday?
3.
Who was the last Scottish team David Moyes played for?
Celtic.
Who's the most capped Scotland player of all time? Men's player.
Kenny Dalglish.
Where did Stephen Fletcher begin his playing career?
Hibernian.
Which country does Scott Arfield represent?
Canada.
And what year did Ryan Christie get his first Scotland cap?
2017.
Okay. Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great, same set of questions to you, shall we?
Yeah, no worries.
Who did Barry Ferguson go to after his second Rangers spell?
Blackburn.
How many goals did Livingston score against Kilmarnock on Saturday?
3.
Who was the last Scottish team David Moyes played for?
St Mirren.
Who is the most capped Scotland men's player of all time?
Kenny Dalglish.
Where did Stephen Fletcher begin his playing career?
Hibs.
Which country does Scott Arfield represent?
Canada.
In what year did Ryan Christie get his first Scotland cap?
2017.
How many points do Rangers have in their Europa League group? Quickly.
8.
Okay. Now, John, he got through one more question than you. I don't know if you think it was costly. How do you rate your own performance?
Yeah, I did all right. Better than his pundit to the telly yesterday.
It was that bonnet. It was your new bonnet, Alex. Oh. There was question marks flying around the studios to the fashion, whether it was a suitable piece of headwear for the television. Well, but you told me when you came in, it's because you were getting drips on your head.
Yeah, well, the rain was dropping off the main stand and we were getting drenched, so I thought, I'm putting this hat
Peaky
on.
Blinders.
Yeah, and plus,
Hugh likes it, to be fair.
Seriously, we were there for, I think it was 7 hours out in that gantry, and the exposure with the wind and
you're
the rain come back in, it was
a grafter,
anyway, in for a coin.
Right, let's go through the Beat the Pundit questions. Who did Barry Ferguson go to after his second Rangers spell? It was Birmingham. So Blackburn was in between. None of you got that right. How many goals did Livy score against Killy on Saturday? It was 3. So it's 1-1. Who was the last Scottish team David Moyes played for? It was Hamilton Accies.
Ooh, I got that wrong. I thought it was Fairman.
Nah, so it was still 1-1. The most capped Scotland's men's player of all time, Kenny Dalglish. You both got it, 2-2. You both knew Stephen Fletcher began his playing career at Hibs, 3-3. You both knew Scott Arfield represented Canada, 4-4. In what year did Ryan Christie get his first Scotland cap? Was that a guess?
No, 2017.
You both got 2017.
It was Big Alec, wasn't it? Give him it.
Which means it comes down to the last question. How many points do Rangers have in their Europa League group? It is 8, John. He got through one more question. Producer Andy, he was definitely in time, wasn't he? As long as we've started
absolutely
the question. I'm trying my best to take it. I'm trying my best to take it off him, John.
He was after it.
No, as long as you've started the question. Believe me, John. Believe me. It kills me to say it. I much prefer it when you guys win, but he's done you by one.
Just as well.
Not bad.
Yeah, listen, it was a good effort, mate. Fine, you know, good high scoring game. Not like the rest of these pundits in here.
Good stuff. It was a great effort, John. Thank you very much. John ended up with 5. Unfortunately for him, Alex got 6.
Told you he was on a run.
Yeah, he's doing not bad.
Homework's important.
And I must admit, knowledge. When I heard the attempts on the phone, I thought it was good. It was a really good effort. Five would win it for you on many other nights, but not quite enough tonight. Right, 01419511025. I'm pretty sure we're going to take a lot more calls on the cup final yesterday and all the talking points. What other results stood out from you? Stood out for you at the weekend?
Yeah, without a doubt. So Mirren, you know, their away form has been poor. 8 games without a point, and I have to say, Cammy McPherson's strike was magnificent. You know, I love a goal from distance.
You do.
Motherwell 3 in a week, even though there was a pessimistic Motherwell fan in the building on Saturday. And you have to say, Hibs, a big win against Aberdeen. I did think it was going to be tight due to the fact the effort they put in last week, Gordon.
Big win for the mighty Jags as well.
Yes.
They go to Palmerston, beat Queen of the South. St Mirren getting off the bottom. Good psychological move for them. And well, Hearts, shocking run, but Daniel Stendel is set to be unveiled tomorrow at Tynecastle, and he's got a big job on his hands.
Amid a further wrangle about any,
it threatens to run and run. It's messy, but he's there. He's signed a contract for 2 years, and he'll need to hit the ground running.
Let's speak to Brian, who's a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Brian.
Hi there, how you doing?
Not too bad, Brian. What did you make of it yesterday then?
I thought, see, to be honest with you, I thought Celtic defended really well. I really did. I think Neil Lennon set up to... He had a lot of injuries yesterday, but I don't know, what do you think?
I think defensively, Hugh, what do you think?
Well, I mean, particularly when down to 10 men and when the cup is on the line... they were very good. The goalkeeper is sensational. There's no other way around it. If Ryan Jack scores that early in the game, then given that Celtic were well off the pace, Rangers could have won the cup comfortably yesterday. They should have won the cup comfortably. Mm. Alfredo Morelos should have won the cup on his own, even with Fraser Forster having the game of his life.
It's a funny one, Alex, because I can hear people saying, well, Celtic's defence gave up a lot of chances to Rangers, so how can you say they defended well? But then, as Hugh quite rightly points out, there was 30 minutes of the game when Celtic were down to 10 men, and actually, that was Rangers' least likely period to score, if that makes sense.
If you analyse it, Gordon, I think for the first hour, I think Rangers would have been delighted the amount of opportunities that they carved open, and good opportunities, and... I think when they're sending off, I think Celtic became a lot more dogged, and I think Rangers get a wee bit more desperate, particularly after the penalty miss. And I think the game suited Celtic a bit more. You know, it was stop, start, and they didn't fashion as many chances within that half an hour period that Rangers would have liked. But in that first hour, Gordon, you can't say Celtic defended well.
Brian, on you go.
See, to be honest with you, I felt Morelos was dead wasteful in front of goal yesterday.
I don't think anyone will disagree with that, Brian. I think that's a fair comment.
I mean, see, to be honest with you, right, I mean, look at the one with Big Ayer. He's running down the wing, right? Now, Big Ayer dives in. He's running into the box. Two of his own men are standing screaming out for it. You know what I mean? And instead of passing to them, he shoots for a crazy angle to Fraser Forster.
I don't think it was a crazy...
Having the game of his life.
I don't think it was a crazy angle. I think strikers are born greedy. And he had not got a goal against Celtic in 10 games. And clearly, that's at the back of his mind. It was a good angle. He just happened to meet a 6'7" wall.
Gordon, see, for me, the movement by Ryan Kent is really, really poor. Because when you have a 2v2 situation, you're trying to get the defenders as far away from each other as possible. And he takes Scott Brown towards the cutback. If he had attracted the back post, he may well have lost... And he would have freed up more space for the cutback cue. And there was no other option other than Morelos to shoot. And it was an acute angle, and it always favoured Fraser Forster because he was bearing down and there wasn't a lot to hit.
What do you take away from yesterday, Brian? Is the fact that Rangers played so well and dominated the game, is that a sign that they're going to threaten Celtic's domestic dominance very soon? Or actually, is it a sign that if they couldn't win the game yesterday when they were so much on top... Celtic's dominance looks likely to continue? Because I've heard it spun both ways. Which one are you going for?
I'll be honest with you, this is my opinion on it, right? Neil Lennon set up his tactics to defend that game yesterday, because a lot of the players were injured. I mean, look at Johnny Hayes, he wasn't fit. Mikey Johnson wasn't fit. El Nusi wasn't fit. Edward wasn't fit. You know what I mean? Half of your team's no fit.
But I don't think he set them out to be defensive. He certainly had no other option but to play Lewis Morgan up front. A square peg in a round hole, not a striker. And he took one for the team yesterday because he sacrificed himself in that role. It's, again, indicative of Celtic needing to buy another striker in the January window, because who knows where Lee Griffiths is going. Didn't even make the bench yesterday. Celtic didn't set out to be defensive. Rangers, from the first whistle, were on the front foot, and Celtic were up against it from the first whistle.
William is on Twitter. He thinks Ryan Jack had a tremendous game. Did the guys not think he ran the midfield? Wasn't his best fan, but this year, what a talent. That game should cement his position in the Scotland team, says William. Let's hear from Fraser Forster and link a few things together here, because Brian mentioned Alfredo Morelos being wasteful. Alex agreed. Let's talk a bit about the Rangers striker. Fraser Forster says he just went with his gut instincts to save the penalty. He says one of the big reasons he joined Celtic was for moments like that.
It's just one of them. I think you just go with your gut, and fortunately today I went the right way, and other times you guys the other way. But there's still a lot of time left in the game to play with 10 men, and I thought we defended really well after that. We didn't really give away too many opportunities, but 1-0 at such a dangerous score, and just takes one moment of something and it's a goal. So we didn't get complacent. We didn't think we'd broken them. We're aware how tough the game was, and the margins in football are just so small. And it's a fantastic club. I've always said that from the moment I signed here the first time. It's a fantastic club to play for, and these are the games you want to play in as a player. You want to be competing for silverware, and so it's one of them. Obviously on loan, but the rest will take care of itself.
I'll assess this Alfredo Morelos versus Celtic business, because it's still the one box he hasn't ticked, Hugh Keevans. Is it a matter of time, or is there some sort of bizarre underlying issue there as to why he can't do it against Celtic?
The psychology of this game fascinates me. He's had a bad afternoon. He's missed chance after chance. And when I saw him put the ball in the spot, I thought, what a chance it is for him to get the monkey off his back and to go on from there. Because if he scores, you would bet the house on him scoring again before the game was over. But he looked uncertain, unsure of himself, and he was the designated penalty taker. Therefore, James Tavernier rightly gave him the ball, but he never looked 100% confident to me.
Yeah, I think it's the longer this goes on, Hugh, it's going to be playing on his mind. It can't not play in your mind. I remember going back to my own career, there was teams that in my mind I thought, I've been playing crap against him for a long period of time.
So that genuinely can get to you then, yeah?
Crystal Palace was always a terrible place for me to go. I never had a good game there, and I was down there for 14 years. And it does, you think, I'm going here today, I've never really had a decent game there. But the quicker he gets the goal, the better. Now, he wasn't hiding. And if you look at some of the shots that he did fashion out, the one that goes through the legs, and it does spurn. Fraser Forster kind of goes through him, actually. He managed to get enough on it, but it goes through him. The Rangers didn't get the rebound. Hugh Aribo was sleeping on his heels. So he's factoring things out there. The other one that he did was the one we hired as well. So it's not as if he's no carving out things and he's hiding, and it's not. I think once the penalty missed, I think his whole game went to pot at that stage. But I still thought he was very much active and having a key role. Obviously the key role is scoring goals as well, but I felt as if he was still having a good contribution for Rangers in that first hour. But after that, I think everything went south.
What is it then? I mean, can you put it down to coincidence or luck? Because you can't help but think, I mean, the numbers back this up, that he just doesn't miss that many chances. That's against other teams.
I know.
Can anyone explain it?
11 appearances against Celtic. It takes away the coincidence factor.
And especially, I'd see the point, Hugh, if this was a guy who racked up a number of goals, but it was always against the bottom sides in the league, but he scores against every other team in Scotland, and he scores against good European teams as well. So it's not as if there's a limitation in terms of
you have to
the
think
teams
it's
he can do
at the
against.
Back of his mind when he plays Celtic. As I say, it's not a coincidence that you failed to score 11 times against Celtic. Thursday is very important for him. He has the chance in a major European tie to show that what happened on Sunday is out of his mind. It's a major match for Rangers. They will still look at Alfredo Morelos as their best bet for a goal.
Yeah, you can't dispute that. I think when you look at the statistics over the course of the time he's been at the club, he has, listen, he's improved dramatically. You know, when he first came, as I've mentioned this often, the amount of times he ran offside in his first Old Firm game, I think it was five in the first half, Gordon, I think, my God, what's this boy doing? He has developed along the way. Yeah. He's improved. He's a recognised, well, he's in the international scene as well now. So, listen, the quicker he gets back to scoring goals, put that to bed, then he can move on with the rest of the season.
Graham is a Rangers fan in the East End. Graham, what did you make of Alfredo Morelos yesterday? What about this whole not scoring against Celtic business?
That's a good one, Gordon. I've been listening patiently, and that's a good one. That's probably the best one you've actually came away with.
Thank you, Graham.
No, that's cool. And hello to the panel. Hi. Alex, etc. You're absolutely spot on. How many chances did Rangers need? The world was watching. And if you're a Rangers fan, you're heartfelt. And if you're a Celtic fan, you're jubilant. The point of the matter is Steven Gerrard, so humble. And I think you commended on him and that, and Alex as well, when I was listening throughout the show. He's not mentioned VR to the extent that he needs it, but he's mentioned VR that it's needed. So where is the fine line? The fine line is between a World Cup decision, a Scottish Cup decision, a Scottish Cup Betfred decision, a goal that's offside, a left foot is offside, a right foot, whatever it may be, whether you're Celtic or Rangers. But the flip side to that is it's just the positiveness with Rangers and Celtic in Europe at this present moment in time. There's not a lot of people who spoke about that. As much as I'm frustrated as a Rangers fan at this present moment in time, Steven Gerrard's done an absolute amazing job, and I think Alex just spoke about that 6-7 minutes ago. I mean, Morelos was getting red carded, yellow carded, left, right in Chelsea at this present moment in time in a period of 6 months. It was 13 yellow cards and 4 red cards. Gordon, could you correct me if I'm right or wrong?
Yeah, I think you're certainly thereabouts. Does the nature of the game yesterday, just to take the most recent point first, does the nature of the game yesterday exonerate Steven Gerrard from any blame, Alex? If Celtic had absolutely run away with it, you would get real question marks on Steven Gerrard. Yeah. But listen, you're never immune from criticism in this city, and I can hear Hugh saying, well, no matter how close you come, it is 4 trophies that he's watched Celtic go up and lift. So where does Steven Gerrard sit in all of this?
Well, we said this time last week, whoever loses this is going to get battered. Now, we have not had that reaction tonight, Hugh, in terms of from a Rangers or Celtic persuasion. Yeah. And I think that's due to the fact of how well Rangers played. Now, it's not often you stand here having lost a cup final that you praise a team for playing so well. And it's an anomaly, because normally you're going, he got this wrong, he got that. Now, going back to Graham's point there, in terms of, I thought the Barker substitution was wrong. And again, that's in hindsight. You're putting him on to try and change it. I thought that he did no impact at all, and you're looking for service into the box. So, but in terms of where he was when he came in to where it is now, you've got to be encouraged. But listen, when you're the Rangers manager, you have to deliver silverware.
We're back to fine margins. If Rangers had taken the number of chances that they ought to have taken yesterday, Celtic would have lost by a margin which would have created mayhem on here tonight. If Mikey Johnson had made it 2-0, we wouldn't be going on about Julian and the goal. It would have been the second 2-0 victory of the season for Celtic over Rangers, and the Rangers fans would have been less sympathetic than they are being tonight. Now, Steven Gerrard, and I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know for himself, he has to be careful against young boys. He doesn't want elimination from Europe. He then has to be careful at Motherwell. He has to be careful against Hibs at Easter Road. And he's got Celtic at Celtic Park, where if they go into the match separated by 2 points as they are at the moment, it's a major match for Rangers. So he has to be careful. He's done a terrific job domestically and in Europe. He has improved Rangers no end, but he has to win something.
Graham in the East End, thank you very much. This is important. Listen up. Did you enter a Road to Wembley competition? Wow. We ran it all last week. A VIP trip to the FA Cup final, no expense spared, a top prize in aid of Cash for Kids, kindly donated by James Mortimer. If you entered, stand by your phone because we're going to try and call the winner next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Bit of breaking news, and that's that Hearts have announced Daniel Stendel as their new manager. Hugh, the tweet quite simply says, "Welcome, Daniel," although the welcome is in his native tongue. Will I leave the pronunciation to you?
Welcome in.
There you go, that's what it says. So he's here, and he's got a big job to do. I know there's still legal wranglings, yeah, with the likes of Barnsley and so on, but there you are, he's here.
It's a messy business, but he can only concentrate on the football. I am slightly sceptical about him. I will be proved wrong, and I'll say so. But he's not a high profile, as Ann Budge promised. He's not experienced, as Ann Budge promised. He's had 100 games as a manager, and both of the clubs who employed him sacked him. Mm-hmm. So it's a gamble for me.
Right, I'm sure we'll deal with it later in the week. Quite a busy period of the show coming up. Let me squeeze this in. I need to read you the teaser because I don't want to rob you of the chance. So tonight's teaser is this: after the missed penalty yesterday from Alfredo Morelos, only 6 players have scored penalties in League Cup or Scottish Cup finals this century. You don't need to give me answers right now because we're only looking for 6. 6 players have scored penalties in the League Cup or Scottish Cup finals this century. So I'll leave that bubbling away. Now, here's important business. Did you enter a Road to Wembley competition? If you did, stand by. I'm sure you heard about it last week, but if you didn't, it's an incredible prize donated by James Mortimer to raise much needed money for Cash for Kids, giving someone the chance to head off in style to the cup final at Wembley. You kickstart your weekend with champagne breakfast in Glasgow Airport, 2 flights to London, 2 nights accommodation in a 5-star hotel, 2 tickets for the FA Cup final, and then flown back up to Glasgow on the Sunday. It's an incredible prize, and we're about to give it away. Let's try and call the winner, shall we? Even I'm feeling quite nervous, Hugh, and I'm tense. What a prize it is.
I'm too old to be nervous.
Yeah, we have to say, listen, congratulations to the winner, and also great work by James Mortimer donating this fabulous prize.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible prize. The phone's still ringing. The thing is, if it rings out, Hugh, we'll just need to keep trying. It doesn't go to the next caller. That number has been drawn out. I don't even know the name of this person who's going to answer the phone.
Hello?
Who's that?
It's Paul.
Paul, it's Gordon from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. How are you?
Hello, Gordon. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Paul, where are you? Where in the country?
I'm in East Kilbride. My grandson's just been playing football and it's freezing.
It's freezing. Yes. I believe you entered the Road to Wembley competition, Paul. You text in, you donated your fiver to Cash for Kids. We thank you very much for that. When did you do it? Did you do it late in the week or did you hear it right from the start?
I got it during the programme on Saturday. Yeah, later on, I was speaking to Eddie Hawthorne from Alan Clark, the chairman of it, and I donated.
It's a good prize, isn't it, Paul? You've got the champagne breakfast, the flights to London, the accommodation, the FA Cup final, flights back. How does it all sound?
Yeah, it sounded great. It'd be great for somebody to win it.
Great for somebody to win it, Paul. Great for you to win it. You're the winner, Paul. Well done. Congratulations.
You're kidding. I can't believe it. I'm live in the programme that was started all those years ago, Gordon. Gordon, if I have won it, I want to donate it to, let's say, the Haven of Blantyre, to get for people in the community. It wouldn't be right for me to take it. I'm delighted to donate it to people from the Haven in Blantyre. They do amazing work. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
That is very generous indeed. Thank you very much to Paul on the line. I'm sure we'll see that it all goes to a good cause in the end. There we are. That was Paul in East Kilbride on the
brilliant
line. 01419511025 if you want to join in. What about tonight's teaser? Have you got any to kick us off?
Dembele.
Yeah, he did it twice, I think.
Odson Edward.
Yes, well done. Last season, Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, good
Griffiths.
No.
Wow. Try to think of people who take penalties.
All right, give you a bit. Listen, you've got 2 of 6.
Jelovic.
No.
Nacho Novo.
No. Listen, you've got 2 of 6, so we don't need to rush it. Let's hear from another main character yesterday, shall we? Jeremy Frimpong.
Oh,
quite an eventful day, didn't it? Let's hear from him.
Either way, the team won, so I'm happy. Obviously, individually, the red card, but the team winning, it clears everything. So it's really, I'm really happy, man. I'm really happy.
We'll get on to the penalty in a minute, but what did you make of your goalkeeper's performances after?
Oh, my days. Like, you just can't beat him. He is unstoppable. Oh, I love him, man, because he saved me, so I love him.
What happened with the penalty from your point of view?
Basically, Chris went to clear it, and then it ricocheted. I don't know who came off, but obviously Morales was through on goal. So obviously my natural instinct was like just to put him off a little bit because he was through on goal. All he had to do was a tap in. So I just did a little bit, but obviously it was a penalty, but yeah.
At that moment, did you worry that you maybe were going to cost the team the match?
Oh, my days. When you set off like that, I was inside panicking. Worst feeling ever, what? Every time Rangers got the ball, I was just panicking. And I was like, the time's going so slow. But then the team held it through, and obviously I'm buzzing.
He's quite an infectious guy, Hugh Keevans, Jeremy Frimpong. Every time we hear from him. And what about him yesterday? Because it's sometimes strange to hear a guy who got sent off in a cup final and could well have cost the team.
Yeah.
But no one seems to care about that because he was actually one of Celtic's best players up until then.
Yeah.
And of course it worked out fine in the end.
Again, you're back to the fine margins. You know, if he concedes the penalty and Rangers score from the penalty and go on from there, then he is seen in a different light. Someone would have said, or some people might have said, well, 18 years old, he's panicked, and you know, why was he playing? But he has Neil Lennon to thank, because Neil Lennon said to him, "You did great, son." He'll be missed on Saturday because he can't play against Hibs because of that red card, and he will be missed. And it's a meteoric rise. I can't remember anyone who has come from nowhere to the Celtic first team to a cup final against Rangers in a matter of weeks. I can't remember anyone at Celtic ever making that journey so quickly.
The conversation about whether he could handle the occasion, Alex, and whether it was right to play him seems like ages ago, doesn't
it? That's right, yeah.
I think in his performance whilst he was on the pitch, he clearly showed that he could. He was,
yeah, without doubt.
But of course, it went a bit wrong for him in the end, and then worked out fine because Celtic hung on.
Gordon, his performance was excellent. He was a constant out ball for Celtic down that right hand side. He got Celtic up the pitch. And I think he can be proud of his contribution to the point where he gets sent off. He just gets caught on the wrong side, and it was actually desperate defending by Julian who ricochets back off Ayer.
Yeah.
And it's just a reaction. The young guy's actually got caught out, and it was a red card. And I think when you take into consideration his post-match interview, it was so refreshing. It was brilliant. And you know, Ali McCoy's hit the nail on the head yesterday when he says, "I've never seen a guy so happy when he get a red card," you know, because normally you'd be a bit devastated. Well, but the fact that he's won a trophy having played only 9 games is a remarkable feat for a young man.
Yeah, Neil Lennon will go down as having said of him, "He makes us better." To say that about someone who has played 9 games in total for Celtic and now has a cup winner's medal, what a start for that young man.
Yeah, let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? Right?
Not too bad. Settled down after yesterday,
John?
I settled down, mate. I've gone a couple of times to your show. I remember back at the start of the season where a couple of Rangers fans phoned in and said the best sign that's been made this year was Neil Lennon going to Celtic. I was talking to Hugh about it. I don't know if you remember me, but I said, I remember when Walter Smith was made manager of Rangers when Souness had left.
Uh-huh.
I danced around the table going, "Oh, you're a beauty." And I said, "It came back to bite my bum."
Yeah.
So I just wanted to remember, I mean, Lennon had a few injuries yesterday and quite a lot of the Celtic team only fit. And I was talking to a couple of Rangers boys today, and they were saying that Rangers were aware of Celtic and Celtic were hopeless, they weren't too good. But the thing is, we still won the match. And yeah, I remember the Tommy Burns interview, that's when I was really right into Ford Celtic everywhere in the ladies. And I remember once at Hampden, you probably remember the game, Robertson gets sent off for Rangers. And McCoy stood one shot on target.
Yeah.
Scored with it.
Robertson gets sent off after 8 minutes.
8 minutes. And Celtic pummeled Rangers. And McCoy's put one shot on target in the back of the net. And I remember going back up the road, sitting and saying to myself, that's about 4 times that's happened to us. That's when I realised that Rangers knew how to win.
Yeah.
They were champions for a reason, you.
No.
To touch upon Neil Lennon, the individual, I do remember very well, John, the calls that came here on Cup Final Day from Celtic supporters who weren't happy that he had been offered and accepted the job on a permanent basis. I do remember well the Rangers fans who came on here and did say, he's our best signing of the summer. And I go back and make the point. Since last May, Neil Lennon has got 8 in a row over the line, has beaten Hearts to win the Scottish Cup, and has now beaten Rangers to win the League Cup. He has put Celtic into the last 32 of the Europa League by winning their qualification group. And he now equals Billy McNeil as the only man to have won the Cup, League Cup and Scottish and the League as player and manager of Celtic. It is an astonishing record. And to have his own personal treble from May to December is a major feather in his cap. He, for me, is now part of Celtic folklore.
Alex, did the experience Celtic and Neil Lennon have of winning things, did it show in the last part of the game? Is that when you're able to draw on that type of thing? I mean, it clearly wasn't a vintage performance. No one would argue that.
Gordon, I always emphasise the importance of getting a goal in these fixtures, because you can then set up in a particular way. And I think, to a man, defensively, from the point where they went down to 10 men, I thought they were excellent. They put in blocks, and Rangers didn't come up with the answers that they would be looking for. And you have to commend Celtic for that. You know, we've actually said, you know, that Rangers were very dominant throughout the game with the ball, but they actually never got that breakthrough. So you have to commend Celtic, because you talk about resilience, being dogged, hungry, whatever you want to call it. And I think, you know, you listen to the caller there, and he's actually said, you find a way to win. And that's something that Rangers have to do, because they're going to have to find a way, because Celtic are not going to go away anytime soon. No.
John, any concerns about Celtic's domestic dominance, given how close the game was yesterday? Or do you expect that to be, I don't know if it's a one-off, but do you expect Celtic to kick on and be better next time?
Well, I think Celtic will probably not play as bad as that again. But what I will say, right, is we're talking about the gap between the two teams, right? And I think I said the same night when I was talking to you about the last time I called in. See, Rangers, same thing happened to Celtic. We stopped Rangers day in 10 in a row, right? But Rangers had a right horrendous season that year, in my opinion, right? We didn't actually start getting level playing field with Rangers till Martin O'Neill came and spent big money. About 25 to 30 million quid. And he spent to own first team Premiership players. And I think Rangers will probably maybe cut the gap down slightly, but see, you really can't. Celtic, they're going to have to get some sort of investment to spend a wee bit bigger than what they can. But that, the problem they've got is they'll not be able to do that. That's the problem.
It was interesting yesterday to see Dermot Desmond at Hampden. Don't often see Dermot in town. Yes. And there he was. And John's talking about that time when Martin O'Neill took over and Dermot Desmond bankrolled John Hartson and Chris Sutton. Alan Thompson, big players come in for big money. It's more difficult now for Neil Lennon to coax big players, because they require big money now on a level that Celtic would not be willing to pay. But Celtic do have to do business in the January transfer window. This word gap, Rangers showed yesterday that there is no gap really. Celtic now have to be aware of Rangers and what's going on. And I think Dermot Desmond being in town yesterday might just have been significant.
How important does the 29th become then, Alex? We don't know what will happen in the games in between. Clearly, if you were to base it on purely 90 minutes, of course the gap didn't look big yesterday. How could you argue otherwise? If you go back to the start of the season, though, Celtic won that one. It was a bit more comfortable that day. So again, Hugh keeps talking about this tangible thing. Yes. Rangers... last season had managed to get the victories over Celtic, but how important does the next one become in trying to, keep convincing everyone that there's no gap?
Gordon, I think they've got a couple of tough ones before that. They've got Hibs and Motherwell away. They have to negotiate that. They have to take maximum points, because you do not want the gap to be any bigger get into that game. And then you're looking for them to try and put on a performance that's is going to be suitable. I think Edward, if he's fit in that, is it the 29th, isn't it? It's the 29th. If Edward's fit in that game, Gordon, it gives Celtic another dimension, purely for the point of view as when Rangers are putting a press on, and that I think that's the best way for Rangers to
go. You see the massive hole that is created though if Edouard is not there. I think that Lewis Morgan, it was almost unfair to play him in that position yesterday because he's simply not able to play that role. And there's no one. If Lee Griffiths couldn't even make the bench, then it tells you how far away he is. Celtic need to buy another striker in January.
Right, what about tonight's teaser? Only six players have scored penalties in league or Scottish Cup finals this century. You've got Edouard and Dembele.
Hartson.
Nope.
Sutton.
No.
Henrik.
Yes, I thought surely he's not going to miss the other one out. Okay, Henrik Larsson.
I'm going to go for Prusso.
No.
Novo.
No, tried that.
Avalazzi.
No.
Lovenkrantz.
No.
Buffo.
There's a more obvious penalty taker in amongst
Fernando.
No. Keep going.
Oh dear. Boyd.
Three down, three to go. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On tonight's teaser, looking for the six players who've scored penalties in the League Cup or Scottish Cup finals this century. Dembele's done it more than once. Edouard's got one. Henrik Larsson's got one. You've got three to get.
Barry Ferguson?
Yes, that was the one I thought you were closing in on.
Do you know what? I didn't have him down as a penalty taker. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
another one off the list. Hugo,
another one off the list. Two to
I'm
go.
I'm going to go. What about Hibs, Hugh, or Hearts? There's a Hearts off the top of your head. John Robertson.
No.
I'm looking at your reaction to see if it was a Hearts.
No, dude. I don't give anything away. It's
no,
the
I know it was
face.
A poker face. Yeah. Yeah.
Rudy Scaccio.
No.
Kevin Thompson.
No. All right, we'll give you a bit more thinking
Stokes.
Time to get no. Right, it came at a really mad time in the show, Hugh. We were doing various things. Daniel Stendel, he's here. He's in the country. I don't know if he actually is, but in theory he will be. He's the Hearts manager. It's been confirmed. How big a job has he got in his hands?
Huge. Because the players aren't there. You know, Jack Ross, when he went to Hibs, at least inherited some decent players in that squad. They still have a lot of work to do, Hibs, but if he's got a lot of work to do, Daniel Stendel's got a monumental task in his hands. If you take Naismith out of that team, they fall apart, basically. They've won two games all season long. Morale is low. The squad is not great. And the window doesn't open for nearly another month. So he really has a job in his hands.
How high can they expect to go, Alex, given where they are at the moment? What can they achieve this season? And how do you view the league at the moment? I noticed Motherwell went back third at the weekend, capitalising on Aberdeen's defeat and winning against Hearts.
Yep. But the Gordon, I'm looking at the league position. If you take their current form, they have 2 wins in 16. They're almost a half a season, Hugh, where they have only won 2 games.
Oh.
I think it's important for them to get Washington, Naismith back up to speed, Suter up to speed. They possibly, for me, could probably get to 8th, maybe 7th at best.
So you think even top 6 is now out of the question?
I think top 6 is out because Hibs are actually, you know, flying at the moment. They have a 10-point advantage. So they've got wins in them. Kilmarnock are very consistent. Aberdeen are where they are, and Motherwell flying. So I can't see them getting in the top 6.
Couple of minutes left. Let's squeeze one more in from Kenny in Rutherglen. Kenny's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Kenny.
Hi there.
Hello.
Evening, Kenny.
Just a quick point, guys. Now, you may have already answered this. I did call up about 2 hours ago trying to get through this. But I know you've been really busy.
Sure.
My point is about the game from yesterday. Now, I'm not here to bleat and moan about how we were robbed or anything like that. Players will take their chances, as Julian did and as Fraser Foster did, to try and cut the gap when it comes to scoring goals or getting goals or saving goals. Now, I accept that that will happen no matter what team it is. Okay, so that's not my argument. My point is, we are a professional football league and we are getting refereed by amateurs. So we cannot expect to get a professional decision gave if it's an amateur that's doing it. My point is, Fraser Foster, the assistant referee, was standing on the byline watching Fraser Foster a foot off the goal line before
Morelos took the goal, we can see that there was three Celtic players off, offside as the goal was scored. Nothing was done about it. This is continually going to happen, not just against Rangers or Celtic or any other team, but it's continually going to happen until we start getting a more professional refereeing institute put in Scotland.
This is a genuine question, Kenny. I'm not even disagreeing. I'm thinking back to some of the footage in the pictures. Does Fraser Forster have one foot on the line, or at least a lot closer to the line than the foot gap that you...
From what I could see, it looked as though it was both feet before Morelos got there.
So now, anyway, are you advocating professional referees here?
Yeah,
that's the point.
I think we should have professional referees that are more accountable than what they are at the moment, to the point whereas if you're a professional referee, if you make a mistake, yep, everybody makes mistakes. We'll hold it. We'll take that into account. Everybody makes mistakes and they have bad days. But if you're continually doing it, then you go from being a referee in the SPFL, and we'll drop you down to the bottom tier of Scottish football.
If you've proved that you're
capable of being able to do it at the highest order.
I don't know that demotion makes you a better referee. You either are up to the job or you are not.
If the possibility is you're going to go to being on the SPFL down to the bottom tier of Scottish football, you're going to put a lot more effort into making sure that you're doing your job. But you're
a human being. And human beings make mistakes. Now, if Willie Collum, who is a school teacher, if Willie Collum is asked to give up his job as a school teacher and become a full-time professional referee, and the following weekend makes a decision such as the decision he took at the weekend, what have we gained?
Who gets demoted? Willie Collum, the assistant, the mall?
The problem you have is with Kenny's rationale there is if you have three or four officials making a poor call, you will have no one to referee the following week's games. And I have the opinion whereas if they maybe make three or four, whatever the number be, three mistakes, then there may be a case you could go down to have a championship game and allow them to come back up. But listen, if you could afford professional ref, these guys are all professionals. They're lawyers, they're teachers and so forth. So they are not going to give up that to do full-time.
Could we even afford it if we wanted to? But Hugh, the logic is sound. If you do something more often, you should be better at it. But at the same time, I still see the absolute top guys, UEFA's top guys, the English Premier League's top guys, I see them making mistakes all the time. So are we seeking perfection, or are we seeking an improvement? Because I can't imagine we ever get to a place where people go, yeah, they're still making mistakes, but I'll tell you what, not quite as many as they used to, and therefore I'm happy.
We're not seeking anything. We are witnessing the historical aftermath of a Rangers-Celtic game. The loser will make points about the need for professional referees, higher standards, demotion if they're not doing their jobs properly. The winner will have absolutely nothing to say because they're too busy celebrating.
Progress, not perfection.
Such is life.
I'll tell you what, Kenny, it is a good point, and it's a much wider debate than I think we've got time for just now, because we're about 5 seconds away from me hitting that theme music. Why not give us a call back sometime, Kenny? Because there is... it's definitely one that's got a lot of sides to it. So thank you very much for that call. We will leave it there. Only six players have scored penalties in League Cup or Scottish Cup finals this century. Can you name them? Edouard, Dembele, Ferguson, Larson,
Shinny.
Nope. But you're going to need clues, I think.
McLean.
One of them's Celtic, and we're going back a good 10-11 years.
Jackie McNamara.
No.
Alan Thompson.
No.
Petrov.
Just a little bit after Celtic.
McGeady.
Yes, Aidan McGeady. Knocked your teeth out, Alex.
Thanks for reminding me.
And to be honest, the last one, what's the point? What's the point in you two? No offence.
Inverness.
Hearts.
Hearts. I'm going to go for...
he was a left back.
Left back would have been Stevie Fulton.
Come on. Went to Carlisle.
Oh, I know this boy.
I know
it's
you do.
It's
initials.
Yes.
D.G.
Danny Granger. Well done.
We got there in the end. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. It was really busy. Apologies if you couldn't get through. Give it a try tomorrow. I'm back from six with Roger Hanna and Gordon Dl. Callum Gallagher is up next. Clyde
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.